Folks, we're a little less than $48,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Any size gift is deeply appreciated. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Here's the address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Now, for any size year-end contribution, we'll send you a CD of two sermons, one I preached on Christmas and the other on the baptism of Jesus. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2011.
I am at peace with my God. I am at peace with my wife. And she is at peace with me.
I think character is definitely an issue. I think they have to make a decision based upon the person's entire record. And certainly, character counts.
Christ's birth made the angels rejoice and attracted shepherds and kings from afar. He was a manifestation of God's love for us.
Going to church and being in the divine service, that's the place where God comes to meet us, where heaven meets earth. So we don't dress like we do when we're out on a Friday night or we're lounging in yoga pants.
Lord of truck drivers, love issues, etc.
It isn't very often that this happens, where pro-choice and pro-life women can actually agree on something, especially agree that something is wrong and exploitive of women. Certainly pro-choice women don't view abortion as exploitive of women. I don't know why, but at least on this one little subject, the two can agree, at least they have in a letter to the journal Nature, that women are being exploited when it comes to harvesting of their eggs. We're going to be talking about that for the first few minutes of Issues, Etc., live this Tuesday. It's the 6th of December. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, and for the remainder of the hour, we'll spend some time talking about 4th century Bishop of Milan, St. Ambrose. He's one of the giants in church history. There's so much to be said of him and by him. Pastor Will Whedon will join us for that conversation. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. This very rarely happens. What is the concern that both pro-choice and pro-life women share about egg harvesting from women, and where do the pro-choicers still not see the light on these issues?
Well, they both agree that harvesting eggs from women for commercial purposes is exploiting women. And that is a wonderful thing that pro-choice feminists, women who describe themselves as pro-choice, who describe themselves as feminists, are seeing that the so-called advances in artificial reproductive technology are really not pro-woman. And they're seeing that the further breakdown of the connection between sex and marriage and procreation, you and I look at that and see, well, the more we break down the connection between marriage, sex, and procreation, the worse it is for women, the worse it is for society. Well, the pro-choice feminists have not yet made that connection, you know, that there's more going on here than the fact that women's bodies are being exploited and basically turned into commodities. So I think that what's happened is that the sort of left-leaning pro-choice feminist can get behind doing something about egg donation or egg harvesting or egg purchasing, really, because they see it as a commercial exploitation. And so that fits in with their sort of natural habitat of left-wing issues, you know, which is that commerce is bad and the market is bad and women are being commercialized. What they don't yet see, I think, is just how much the whole culture of abortion and contraception has commercialized and cheapened and exploited women as well. So I consider this a very wholesome beginning, and I hope that the people who are creating these relationships between pro-life women and pro-choice women on this issue, I hope that they can continue in forging those bridges.
Do they also not see that underlying IVF in the first place is that feminist error that women have by right the both the ability and the right to completely micromanage their reproduction. We would say procreation.
Yes, that's exactly right. And that's why it's costly for them to go out on a limb and say that there really have to be some limits placed on reproduction or on the artificial reproduction technology is what I'm trying to say. You know, and in other words, the vast majority of pro-choice women hold the position that you just described, which is that women are entitled to choose everything. We get to choose whether to have sex, whether to have babies if we're having sex, you know, when to have babies, how many babies to have. And so the natural follow-on to that would be not only do I get to say no to a baby, I'm entitled to have a baby when I want one, you know. And so that would be, you know, kind of the logical outgrowth of a radical pro-choice, pro-self-determination, pro-reproductive freedom attitude is that we get to choose everything. But what these women are now seeing is that whole set of choices has attached to it a whole lot of consequences that are very negative for women and that are exploitive, that really amount to one group of women exploiting another group of women. You know, in other words, well-to-do women are able to exploit poorer and more desperate women for their eggs by offering money. They're able to offer money for the services of surrogacy, so that even now a woman who chooses to do so can hire a surrogate to carry her child for her simply because she finds it inconvenient. Now, she can do that if she wants, and there's nothing to stop her. And so who would you pick out to do that? Well, you might pick out the wife of a soldier who's desperate, and she's desperate for money. You might pick out a lady in India or a third world person or something. That is where these kinds of quote-unquote choices are leading to the exploitation of women by women. And so, to their credit, this group of feminists is seeing that this is not a path that they want to go down. And I would, you know, challenge them to say, you know, look, the abortion regime always had within it an exploitation of some women by other women, in that the women who care more about their careers and their autonomy recreated the world in their image, much to the detriment of those women who wanted to stay home, have an interdependent relationship with their husband. Those kind of women, in effect, were gravely damaged by the so-called feminist movement. And so there has always been a woman against woman aspect to the feminist movement as we've known it in our lifetimes, Todd. It just, this issue makes it more apparent, and it's easier for this group of women to see. And so I'm glad that they're finally able to see the light, and at least in this one particular.
Another story, I was actually stunned to see this, that the famous geneticist who gave us Dolly the sheep is actually urging scientists and researchers to abandon the path of embryonic stem cell research. What's the story and what's your reaction to it?
Yeah, isn't that incredible? Yes. The guy who cloned Dolly the sheep, who eventually had to be euthanized, by the way, because she didn't, somehow she wasn't all that healthy, as it turned out, and who took 300 tries to get her, by the way, so there were a lot of little dead dollies floating around. But anyway, that he has figured out that there isn't really any scientific promise to embryonic stem cells. They're too unstable. You're too likely to develop tumors because these the embryonic stem cells, you know, grow on their own more in different ways and in more rapid ways than we can easily control. And so we're really much better off using adult stem cells. That's a much more scientifically viable avenue for research. So as far as I can tell, Todd, he is advocating adult stem cell research purely on pragmatic scientific grounds. I don't think he's got an ethical concern about it. I think it's just, you know, hey, this is what's going to work. So I thought that was pretty astonishing as well. That's why I thought it would be good to post it on the Ruth blog. You know, we have a little story about it over at the Ruth blog at ruthblog.org, just because it's like, whoa, you know, you never hear about that. Most of the time what you hear are stem cell research advocates just absolutely adamant that it's got to be all embryos all the time, which does make you think there's something going on there other than just the pure science to the thing.
Tell us about the Ruth Institute's new resource, Defending Marriage.
Well, you know, Todd, we came out with a CD. This is a CD. It's called Defending Marriage with Dr. J. That would be me. And this is an audio CD that all your truck drivers can get, you know, and put it into their machine while they're driving through Florida or wherever they're driving around. And the purpose of Defending Marriage was to help ordinary people be able to articulate the case for marriage. And it's also a tool that you can give to your friends and neighbors so that they can see how serious the issue really is. There are three short talks on there. The first one is only 6 minutes long. It's my testimony in front of the Rhode Island State Legislature, actually. And we wanted to put something in people's hands that they could give their friends, because we kept hearing back from our supporters, you know, Dr. Morris, we love this stuff that you're talking about, and we know it's important, and we know same-sex marriage is going to be a big problem, and we just don't know what to say, and we don't know how to convince our friends to get up off the bench and out onto the playing field. They're all so apathetic and whatever. So this is something that you can hand your friends. This is something you can easily listen to yourself. And there's nothing in it that you would be embarrassed to have a homosexual person listen to, for example. There's no gay bashing in there, as anybody who knows me would expect, because I never even talk about that type of stuff. We just go through the arguments for how redefining marriage is going to be harmful to society and why we should do something about it.
Folks, you can find out more about this new 30-minute CD, Defending Marriage, featuring Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd.
Tomorrow, the church is going to be remembering one of the giants. He is, well, I guess you could call him the spiritual father of Augustine, which would make him a giant in and of himself. But Ambrose, even apart from Augustine, is remembered for a good reason tomorrow by the church. For the remainder of this hour, Pastor Will Wheaton joins us to do just that. Fourth century Bishop of Milan, St. Ambrose, after this. Hey, St. Louis listeners, our local affiliate, AM 1320, Bot Radio Network, lowers its signal power at 445 until the end of the year, but you can still listen to Issues Etc. full power at issuesetc.org. Old theology, new technology, issuesetc.org. Listen to what you want, when you want. Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.